Francine Sal back on the Fan 129. You know how, by the way, this is your fault. Before I get to a little St. John stuff here, get to the calls, 888-808-1019. I told you, now, if you were going to do this, and maybe you're just going to say yes to avoid the wrath a little bit, I said, hey, make sure you circle back and ask me my opinion on the Martha Stewart stuff that you told me that I listened to, and I told you I would give an opinion after I watched it. That was also an hour and a half ago.
Yeah, well, I was saving it for the call of the day.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you asked me off air, we would not have that.
Well, then I will save it.
There you go.
Okay, I did watch it, but I will save you my assessment until call of the day. All right, so you know what's crazy? Like, I watched, I'm not going to lie to you, me and Sal talked about this. We watched some of the college football playoff stuff. Like, I don't know, I just, college sports to me just does not feel the same. It really does not. And, you know, growing up here, it was always, all right, when is Ohio State on? When's Michigan on? When's USC on? When's, you know, Texas or Notre Dame, obviously. A little West. I remember Army being on a little bit when I was a kid. But it was the big schools, right? Wisconsin, ABC. And, you know, I was never a huge, huge, huge college football fan until I really started my career. And then I got into it. You know, I worked in Michigan, so I was going to Michigan games, whatever. But I did actually really start to really enjoy it. College basketball, I've been in and hooked on since I could remember, which is why, you know, I love Lou Carter II the way I do. Rest in peace, coach. Why Chris Mullins, one of my all-time favorite players and idols. You know, that Final Four team, what the Big East used to be. If there is a documentary or a book that was written or something of substance or record about the Big East, I can promise you I have inhaled it. Because there was nothing like when I was a kid going to CYO basketball practice and then going to the, it's not even there anymore, it sucks, the Foursome Diner in Brooklyn with my dad who was coaching us. And reading the New York Post and reading the Daily News, having a conversation about the different articles we were reading, then exchanging papers, going through the box scores, and racing home to watch St. John's play at noon. And a lot of those games were at the Garden against Patrick Ewing, or Rolly Massimino with Nova, or Boeheim with Pearl Washington and Derek Coleman. Like, it was just, now, people don't believe me about this. When I say, whether it's on pods or whatever, when people ask me about the old Big East, like, you got to understand, and I'm leading into St. John's here, there was a point, specifically St. John's this year, there was a point where St. John's was bigger than the Knicks. Like, if you go back and look at old attendance numbers from before they drafted Patrick Ewing first overall in 85, when Pat was still at Georgetown and Mully and Barry and those guys were going to the Final Four, they would sell out. Back then, the Garden was 19,763 seats, okay? A little different now with the new configuration. It's up there, but it's a little different. And then the Knicks might have 12,000 when Bernard King ripped up his knee before Patrick came. And it was just a completely different energy. And I mean, I can't speak to this. I know the history, but I know what, you know, lap check before Coach Carnesecca came. What St. John's has always meant to the city. And Vaccaro wrote, and I see him all the time at the Garden, even when they're down, and they've been down for so long. Mike Vaccaro does a great job of at least keeping them somewhat relevant, like a flicker of hope. But man, if you're a 30-year-old St. John's fan instead of me, who's 51, what have you had? You didn't see our test. If you did, you don't remember it. Yes, sir. I mean, Mullen, I mean, that may as well have been 1920. So it's crazy. I say all this about college, from the college football to the college basketball, to paint this imagery. If St. John's wasn't around, I would not care about college basketball, maybe at all. Because the game has changed so much, and the NIL era, and the constant volatility of rosters, and, you know, kids transferring, bouncing around, I don't know why. I do it for a living. I call the games with Mink. I don't know who half these kids are. I don't mean on St. John's roster. I mean on Marquette, who's number 7 in the country, because it always changes, or UConn, or Xavier, or Butler, or Seton, whatever. It's very different. But the crazy part about this resurgence by St. John's, who, by the way, is now off to their best start since 1984-85. And there is one man who would have delivered that, and that is Patino. And there is not another person in this world that could have pumped the life into St. John's that Rick Pitino has already pumped life into. St. John's, it saddened me. So now they still got to keep going, and they're definitely going to make the tournament. But, you know, do a little damage. Don't just be one and done, all right? You know how many times I left the Garden saddened to myself? I mean, you know, I didn't necessarily tweet about it, and I wouldn't talk about it on the air because nobody cared about St. John's enough to talk about it on the air except me and, like, a few diehards. So I got to deliver the content that is most meaningful. And I would be saddened by the fact because in my heart I'm like, damn, like everything that I had, everything that I grew up with, you know, wearing that starter jacket to the schoolyard, or, you know, that St. John's hoodie on the layup line at CYO, or the red and white Nike dunks in CYO, because that's what the guys at St. John's wore. And there's a lot of my friends who are listening now, guys on the job, guys whatever that I grew up with. We all thought and lived the same thing, and then it just died, like it was extinct. So I was saddened by the strong, not the fact, because it's been disproven because of Rick, but in my mind, the strong notion that St. John's was dead in the conventional sense of what they were, like, at the apex of my childhood. And here we are, Rick Pitino. And guess what? The flame is strong. And as much, the craziest thing about this, everything about college sports now that I detest, that I really just, I don't enjoy, which is why I didn't really watch the college playoffs every snap like 10 years ago. I would have been all over it like a junkie. Which is why, yeah, I mean, I watch a little Duke and UNC and some of the, you know, Michigan State, I love Izzo. I'll keep them on for a little bit. I'm not devouring college hoops the way I used to because I don't care about it the way I used to. But I care about St. John's. I care about the Big East. And the crazy irony here is the reason why St. John's is now as relevant as they are is obviously because of Rick Pitino. But specifically, in addition to Rick, is the NIL money. So while it's doused out my love for college sports, the other stuff, it's brought it back for St. John's because of the NIL and because of Pitino's ability to structure a team the way he wants now, and because of the fact that St. John's is finally, God, and it's so good to see, finally spending money instead of operating like the mom and pop shop. And I love them, and I know everybody there, and the people I'm talking about now are gone. No disrespect, I'm not talking about these people. They're actually operating like a business. But they thought they were like, all right, you know, Louie and the pictures and the media guides, and hey, we had Chris back in 85 and Walter and Malik in the late 80s. Rest in peace, Malik. Fantastic. What are you doing in 2000? What are you doing in 2006? What are you doing in 2010? What are you doing? Well, what they're doing now is capitalizing on the state of college athletics. And I am never going to tell you how to spend your money. I am never going to tell you what to do. But I am going to tell you, if you used to love St. John's, if you grew up and you remember St. John's having that pulse in the city like they used to, you got to flip them on. And not just because they're 15th in the country and because they've won, whatever, 13 of 14, and they had their first perfect January since the 84-85 season. All true. Why you need to watch them is because they play like a St. John's team used to play. They are in your face. They were up 23-3 last night. 23-3. Their defense, I won't bore you with them. Just go look at the stats. So, although, spoiler, it's basically top five of the nation and everything. They are in your jock from the opening tip. It's the way Louie used to demand that you play defense. And to see this revitalization and to see Rick, who I've said this on the show recently with Sal. Sal's getting into it a little bit. He and Hoff came to the game the other night. They're going to come back for sure. I'm going to get Booney at one of these games. He wants to come out. You know, this is what it used to be like. The intensity and the pride. And it was always like, well, you know, before Rick got here, maybe they can have a good season with Lavin. Well, maybe they have a good year with Mullen. Maybe they can have a good year with Mike Anderson, you know? And, you know, they did like a year here and there. But now you could become a program in an unconventional manner because it's about the money. And Rick even said it. He said after the Seton Hall game, he said, hey, there's a reason why Kadari's here. We basically paid him more money. Like, he didn't want to play, for St. John's more. He didn't want to play for me more than he does Shaheen Holloway, who I've got a lot of respect for. He's a pit bull. A lot of respect for Shaheen. But he's here because we've got more money than Seton Hall right now. Well, good. Spend it. You know, for too often, St. John's didn't have the money because they didn't have any boosters giving real money, and they didn't cheat. Now, I'm not saying they didn't cut a corner, like, not that I know of, but, you know, here or there, a little tiny, teeny infraction, sure. I could promise you one thing. They weren't giving, I'm talking about in the 90s and early 2000s, they weren't giving players $500,000 to come to St. John's. Guess what? Almost every team in the Big East back then was. So St. John's became a dinosaur because they couldn't compete as a Catholic school with the money. Well, now they've got the money, and now they've got the master. And look at where they are now. And it's fun. It is fun. It is so awesome to see. I'm really happy for St. John's, you know, let alone it makes it more exciting for me and Mink to do these games.